Children, if you'll just remember that song, holy is his name. He's holy, he's different. He's majestic. He's righteous. He's loving and charitable, kind. He's eternal. He's your forever friend. Your forever savior. Your forever protector. You see, that's why he's so holy. Our God is holy. Amen. 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 Turn to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. The second chapter of Matthew. Thank you, Celia. I just about breaking out in song there, but I'll just kind of pull up just right as I should. Matthew chapter 2. We have been studying through the first two chapters of Matthew. And so we will spend time today as we near our way to its completion. The second chapter of Matthew, beginning with verse 13. If you're able to stand, I'll ask you to do so. This is the Word of God. And now when they here being the Magi, or wise men. Now when they had gone, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up. Take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him." So Joseph got up and took the child and his mother while it was still night. Let the church say still night. Yeah, it was dark in the middle of the night sometime. And left for Egypt. He remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Then when Herod saw that he had been tricked by the Magi, he became very enraged and sent and slew all the male children who were in Bethlehem and all its vicinity from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the Magi. Then what had been spoken through Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and she refused to be comforted because they were no more. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. You may be seated. Many of the Bible's great stories are battle stories. And what makes these so consequential is their spiritual nature. Here today, as we gather on this eve of Christ's birth, we are reminded that we too are in battle. We are battling for the souls of men, women, and children. And King Jesus came to earth to give us victory in this battle, to defeat our enemies, and to live under his protection as our king. Now, as you would expect, when the eternal King of all kings was to be born, there would be adversity, and that there was. Revelation chapter 12 describes the big red dragon representing Satan, who sought to destroy the life of baby Jesus. In this passage, Matthew chapter 2, we find another adversary, no doubt inspired by the dragon, to see to the demise and the murder of Jesus, the eternal King. Herod was so outraged that he missed his brief window of opportunity to destroy King Jesus, that he had all male children aged 2 and under ruthlessly murdered in the vicinity of Bethlehem. But yet God protected King Jesus. And our King Jesus protects his children today. Now, we're going to study in this passage how that comes about. And it's an amazing Christmas gift. Of all the things that we receive from our Lord, his protection is one of the most treasured gifts. First of all, God sounds the alarm. To be protected, it's very necessary to hear the alarm of danger. God warned Joseph of forthcoming harm. Now, I find it rather interesting that God did not send back the shepherds who had been in the field keeping watch over their flock, who knew very well that King Herod was in distress and he was on the war path. I mean, the shepherds could have returned back to Bethlehem and said, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, we want you to know that Herod's on the prowl and he's angry. But they didn't. You know, God could have sent the Magi back. You see, the Magi were warned by God in a dream that King Herod had noticed their intention of worshiping the baby Jesus, the king, and that he sought King Jesus' life. I mean, the Magi could have returned and said, listen, Mary, listen, Joseph, take your king, newly born, and flee this area, but they did not. You see, God chose to sound the alarm of danger himself. You know, God has already warned us of life's greatest dangers. God has done that through his written word, Holy Scripture. We know them. And if I could just briefly remind us today of 5 common dangers that all of us have been duly warned to avoid. Listen to these very quickly. First of all, sin is dangerous. Jesus said and preached in his day that we must turn away from sin. That means to repent. We turn away from sin so that we can gain entrance in his kingdom. And in his kingdom, there is protection. Rejecting Jesus is dangerous. Jesus said, all matter of sin shall be forgiven unto man, except a blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Now that means that one turns away Jesus, one rejects Jesus, one walks away from Jesus, and that sin will not be forgiven because you cannot be forgiven apart from Jesus. Falling away is dangerous. That great book of Hebrews gives us 5 clear warnings about the danger of falling away from faith. My brothers and my sisters, do not fall away. 4, false teachers are dangerous. Jesus taught us that we must be aware of and avoid teachers who dress in sheep's clothing. Now, that means they look harmless. They look inviting, but they are damnable and dangerous. A 5th warning common to us all is the danger of being unprepared for the end. You see, Jesus said you need to be on the alert because you do not know what time the eternal king will return back to earth and capture his own and destroy those who follow evil. Be warned. So let me ask you, are you listening to God's warning? Now, there are others we could review quickly, but I think we could stick to these five and do quite well. How are you doing heeding the warning that God has already given us? He has already spoken these warnings to us. How are you doing heeding the warnings of God? They're your gift from Him. There was a man who was driving down the road, and some pranksters chose to remove some signage that said, bridge out, road closed. I'm not sure their motive, if it was just to have fun or just to think it was an innocent act, but it hardly was that. And the man drove his small vehicle into the embankment and down into the creek. But he survived, and he climbs out and makes his way back up to the road. And there he sees headlights coming. It's an SUV. And the man stands in the road waving his arms. Stop! 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 The bridge is out! Stop! And the SUV heeds his warning, and the very frightened-looking man who was soiled from the head to the bottom of his feet went to the window and said, sir, I've just come to warn you that the bridge is out, the road is closed, and the signage has been removed. And he looks into the SUV, and there's a lovely family that was spared hardship because they heeded the warning. You know, week after week, I stand right here. And when I'm not, others are, but I generally am here. And I find myself doing all that I know to do, including waving my arms at times and raising my voice, not because I'm mad, but so that I can underscore the dangers that lie ahead for those who don't follow Jesus and heed the warnings of God. Danger is ahead. Will you stop or will you drive on and ignore the warnings? These warnings are God's gift to you, by the way. He loves you, and He gives these for your help. So, number one, God sounds the alarm. It is the purpose of God, the intention of God, that He would duly warn you of dangers. He has given us five dangers, commonly known, very well understood from His Holy Scripture. The second thing Scripture teaches us is that we need to flee harm. When harm comes our way, run. God told Joseph to get up, take the child and his mother, and flee. Now, when danger comes, we have been taught, we're taught here at Liberty. We've got a security team, by the way. Most of you know that. And in this day and this time, when I was growing up, by the way, I've been pastoring for about 40 years. And for the first time ever in my ministry, we have a security team here. And our security team has taught us, and we've had fire. What do you do when there's a fire? You know, you get out of the building. and we've got a plan. You get out of the building, and where do you go? You meet over there, right, on the second parking lot in the front. You go to the nearest door. We have, by the way, some of you got children in the preschool. What happens? Is it a fire? You don't go back there. You better go to that parking lot, or you'll never find them, because they're going to be escorted out. And where are they going to go? They're going to that second parking lot back here. You just get out of the building. We've got people trained and ready to go. If there's an active shooter, by the way, we've had some training here. What to do when danger comes? If there's an active shooter, what do you do?
We trust it never happens, but we are told, you know what? You try to fly. You try to get out if you can. And if you can't get out, you hide. And hiding for you means you get under the pew. And if that doesn't work, your last resort is to fight. He's going to have to come down. And that's just kind of, and we're trained. But notice, no matter what threat, the very first goal is to go. If it's a fire, an active shooter, our very first instruction when harm comes is to flee. You see, God said to Joseph, and take your wife, take your newborn baby Jesus, and get out of here. Flee. Now, James 4:7 gives us a prescription of a twofold plan that always works in the midst of danger. All right, now I want to quote it for you because we need to hear it. James 4:7 says, submit to God, therefore, and resist the devil, and he'll flee you. Submit to God. Let the church say, submit to God. All right, that's step number one. When threat comes your way, no matter what it is, the first thing we do, we submit to God. Listen, we're in His hands, amen, and that's where we want to be when threat comes. Submit to God. Why? Because He's your protector. He can do what no one else can do. Submit to God. He's the one who has oversight and sovereignty over all that occurs on life and afterlife. And second, flee, resist the devil. Get out of his path. Now, if you've ever been trained to know what to do when you are confronted with a bear, we have a lot of bears around here, so you need to know this. If there's a bear that shows up on your back porch, here's what you do. You've heard it from the preacher, so now you know what to do. And that is what you don't do, because there's always an exception. You don't run from a bear. Because why? Yeah, he is going to outpace you. Yeah, he's going to say, there goes my lunch. And you know what? I think I can catch up to him or her. The old joke is, if there's two of you, you don't have to outrun the bear. You just got to outrun the other person, right? So anyway, going back to the task of Bible here. When danger comes, what do we do? Well, we don't follow the bear's advice, because you know what? We understand that a bear will chase us. But here's what God's word says. Submit to God, number one. Number two, flee from the devil, and he will flee from you. He's the only enemy that if you run from him, he'll run from you. Now listen, that works. It works every time. It's amazing. If you run from the devil, he's going to run from you. Why? Because you're running to the tearing arms of Jesus Christ. You're submitting yourself to Jesus, and Jesus is your protector. Jesus is your arm bearer. Jesus is the one who will care for you. And when you run to Jesus, he's going to run the other way. Ain't no catching up to you. It always works. Now let's get practical before we move on. You see some unattended cash. It's not yours. It looks mighty good. You could use it about now because you've kind of overspent your charge cards. Now I'm not speaking to anybody here, but somebody may know somebody. So you see some unattended cash. What do? I mean, it's tempting. What do? Well, you submit to God. The first step is to say, God, I'm surrendering my life to you. That cold cash looks mighty good, but I'm submitting myself to you. And then you run away from the cash. Not difficult, is it? Pretty simple two-step plan. One more illustration, just to make sure it's clear. Let's say that you're watching something and boom, there it is. You just wish you hadn't seen it. And now you're faced with a decision. Do I continue to watch or not? You see, we see something that stimulates our flesh. Maybe it's something on television. Maybe it's something on your computer. Maybe it's something, you know, it even has happened to church, I'm sorry to say, but folks see things innocently and it happens. So what do you do? First of all, you submit to God. You submit to Him. You say, God, I'm not my own. I belong to You. I'm yielding to You. I'm giving myself to You. I'm trusting You. Submit to God. And then what do? You run the other way. You absolutely say, whatever is causing the lust, I'm running the other direction. If it's a magazine, I'm putting it down. I'm getting rid of it. If it's my computer, I'm turning it off and I'm getting away from it. If it's a movie, I'm getting out of my seat. Even though I paid price for the ticket, I'm getting up and I'm leaving this place, because it always works. God will protect you, but you must follow His plan. Run away from fire. It works every time. Number three, run to safety. God instructed Joseph to take his family and to flee in Egypt. Now, that's interesting. Flee into Egypt? I mean, what an unlikely safe haven, right? Because it was in Egypt that enslaved the Jews for 430 years. I mean, of all places. I mean, are you serious, God? I mean, you really want me to run to Egypt? You see, up to this point in history, listen carefully, here's the reason why. Up to this point in history, God brought deliverance to His people out of Egypt. That was the most profound act of deliverance known to mankind up until this point of Jesus coming. And so when Joseph had to flee the danger of King Herod and the devil and go away, God said, go into Egypt, because I am predicting yet another deliverer to come out of Egypt. Moses was the first deliverer who took my people out of Egypt. But now I'm sending my son, and he's going into Egypt, and he will come out and deliver my people from harm. Now I want you to identify a temporary place where you have sought safe haven. All of us have done this. By the way, it's right. It's not wrong. It's more than acceptable. It is the will of God. But I want to remind you that the things that God has given you as a temporary safe haven never is intended to be your long-term permanent solution for safety and protection. Now, let me illustrate it. Say for a moment that you are in need of some financial protection, meaning that you're out of money and you need some help. So when that happens, what do you do? What do you do? There you go. Thank you. Well, finally, thank you, Sister Song. I was starting to worry here a moment. I thought I was down somewhere down at the tavern for a moment. I wasn't sure where I was preaching. So Sister Song said, you get on your knees and you start praying. You know, that's what we do, isn't it? You see, when we find ourselves in need of some financial help, we get on our knees. First thing we do, get on our knees and say, help! God, help! You're my protector. You're my king, and I need your help. Now, ultimately, you're going to look for a job, because normally that's how you secure money, isn't it? I mean, it's not like money grows on trees. And it's not like I couldn't give you $5 if you called me, because I probably could and most likely will. But that's not enough to sustain your need. You need a job. Now, many of you this past year were given a job by the Almighty God. Not all of you. All of you weren't looking. You're still waiting on your $5 for me, aren't you? But you see, that's how God provides. And And we've seen it here. Listen, we've prayed for many of you to get a job. We've seen it all the time. But I want this to be clear. That is God's financial safe haven for a time. It's not your final solution. Jesus is always your final solution. Always. He's always going to care for you. He's always going to provide for you. He's always going to see your needs met because he's the Almighty God. I'm not saying you won't go through lean times. Of course you will. But that's when he shows up and he provides. And he'll give you these temporary things to satisfy your need. And then he's going to come and deliver. Let me give you another example. We've had folks here that have had need for relationships. And there are some that have found relationships that are meaningful, that are loving, that are kind, that are significant, that meet a great need. And when that happens, boy, it's always good, isn't it? And I'm not going to mention any names. Dereesa Roberts, I'm not going to mention any names, but you see, it's God's provision. You see, God can bring people together, and we've seen it. He does it. And he gives some comfort. He brings some security, some acceptance, and some love, and some well-being. I mean, it's just good. God brings people together. But I want you to know it's not God and your final solution. Your final solution for acceptance, for security, for belonging, for being in relationship doesn't come from another person. It ultimately comes in Jesus. He's your final solution. He's the King and your deliverer and your protector. So come to Jesus. Run away. And then when you run, enter safety. Because he is your security. Number four, respond to Jesus immediately. Joseph got up in the night to take his wife and baby to safety. Now, if that would be most of us today, we'd say, wait, God, don't you know what time it is? Chuckle, chuckle, as if God doesn't know what time it is on planet Earth. God, don't you know it's late? Don't you know I need my rest? Don't you know, oh God, we've been here a while. I think it could surely wait till tomorrow. Don't you think, God? Come on. The Bible says Joseph, when he got the word about Herod, he'd already been steaming, Herod had. He already had been on a warpath. He already had been sending his lynchmen to Bethlehem to kill the children. You see, he already was overcome with fury. But when Joseph heard it in the night, he got up in the night and he took his wife and the newborn king and he left. You see, God will protect us, but we need to obey him now. We cannot wait. Now, we miss this. Listen carefully. I want you to hear this so clearly. We often miss this and then we blame God because we have missed it. Missed his protection. Now, there are two basic causes for our refusal to act promptly and immediately. First of all is indifference. We live in a culture that breeds indifference. Whatever. I mean, that's just the culture that we live in. I'll get to it, Dad. Well, yeah, I mean, like next week, right? Go clean your room, sweetheart. What happens? What does that mean? That means I'll get to it when I can. I'm playing my video game, and I'll get to it sometime. You see, we live in a culture that is incredibly inclined to indifference. Well, this do-nothing ism is a disease. It is an ism. And you better not contract the disease. It's a cancer of your soul. And if you got it, you better get rid of it in a hurry. Don't ever sit idly and saying, God, I'll get to it. Okay, God, I'll do. Yeah, you want? Okay, I'll get to that. Yep, sure enough, I will. I mean, when God comes and knocks on your door, you better answer, and you better do it right then, period. The second cause of delay is we want to consider other options. It's true. I've seen it. You know, it strikes me as peculiar, though, that when the house is on fire, we never say, let me just sit here in my soft, easy chair and drink this sweet tea and let me consider options. No, when the house is on fire, what do? You get up and you storm out of the house. But when God knocks on our door, what do? And he says, listen, do this. It's my role for you. It's my protection for you. It's my gift for you. And we say, well, let me consider other options. It's kind of like a fly that lands right in front of a frog. And after he kind of landed, he knew he shouldn't have. And he's faced with a decision. Do I sit here and wait? Maybe a charming prince will come by and kiss this stinking frog, and my problem will be resolved. I'm thinking that fly better leave in a hurry and not wait. But when God knocks on our doors and says, flee, I've got security for you. I've got a place where I'll protect you. Go into Egypt. I've got a temporary place for you right now, a little safe haven, and I'm going to deliver you out of that, and I'm going to be your final solution. Just listen to me and obey my voice now. Sometimes we don't. The first warning passage mentioned in Hebrews, as I indicated a moment ago, there are five warning passages in Hebrews. The first of these, found in chapter 2, verse 3, it says this: how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? How shall we escape the dangers when God has showed up to deliver us and we just sit there in negligence? Heed the warning immediately. When God has a prescription for you, a solution, a help, respond immediately. Fifth and finally, trust God's protection because he knows the future. You see, God knew that Herod was on a war path, but it wouldn't last long because Herod would die, and that he did. He died in the year 4 BC. And so we understand that God knows the future. God knows your future. Now, who can best protect you from coming danger than God, who knows your future? I mean, suppose that I had the ability to say to you, which I don't, but suppose I had the ability to say to you, there will be a thief coming to your door tonight at 11 p.m. to remove all the presents under your tree. If you really believed that, what would you do? This is Georgia. I know what you'd do. You ain't getting my candy. I mean, suppose that you were aware that tomorrow at 2 p.m. there'd be a drunk driver driving adjacent to the road in which you plan to drive. What would you do? You'd choose another route. You say, listen, this is stupid. I'm not going to continue on as planned. I'm going to change routes. You see, God knows the future. I don't know what's going to happen at 11 o'clock tonight. I don't know what's going to happen at 2 p.m. tomorrow, but I know who does. And God will protect us. He knows the future, and he knows your future. Don't put your life in anyone's hands other than his, first and foremost. Never depend on anyone to protect you, because he is alone knows tomorrow. Only Jesus, the eternal King, can look into your future and prepare you for dangers that come. It's his gift to you, by the way. I mean, this is part of the gift of Jesus. It's part of the Christmas gift. He satisfies all the dangers of sin and unbelief and evildoers. He is our protector. He knows your future. Trust him. Submit to him and follow him. There was a very well-known Baptist pastor by the name of Vance Havner. He has not long ago deceased, but he wrote about the death of his wife. His wife became ill. I'm sure he prayed for his wife as I do mine. Every day of my life, I pray for God's protection over my wife. Every day, it doesn't miss. I ask God would be her shield. And she contracted an illness, and it looked as though it was terminal. So he cranked up his prayers, now changed them from protection, that God would provide healing. He honestly believed in faith that God was going to do a miraculous work and save the life of his wife. He just knew it. He's a great man of faith, a great preacher. Love to read his sermons, though I don't do it regularly, but I have, and he's just amazing. His wife died. And he wrote that when his wife died, it was a crisis of faith that sent him into grief, because he really believed God was going to miraculously deliver his wife from illness. But after some time, this was the conclusion. This is what he stated. He said he learned that God doesn't deliver and protect everyone the same way. He used John the Baptist and Peter as the biblical example. You see, Peter was put in jail for his faith. And what did God do? Sent an angel, unlocked his shackles, opened the prison doors, and led Peter out of jail. John the Baptist was placed in jail for his faith. And you know what happened? He was beheaded and he died. And he had to come to grips with this. Why would God do something for Peter that he didn't do for John the Baptist? Perhaps John the Baptist was not in favor of the Almighty God. No, in fact, Jesus says, no one born of woman is greater than John. I mean, you don't come out of the womb and get any better than this guy. So that wasn't the explanation. In his personal devotional life, God showed him, revealed to him, that God basically protects and delivers in two ways. One, God does on occasion remove the threat. He just takes it away. Takes away the disease, takes away the danger, the evildoer, the guys who are on the corner waiting for you to leave home to take your presence under your tree. There are times when God just puts angels there and just removes the threat. There are times it happens. And when it is, it's glorious, isn't it? I mean, most of these we don't even know about. I mean, God's working, and we don't even see them because he just takes care of them. Now, when we get to heaven, he's going to say, listen, I'm going to remind you of a few things here. How many car wrecks, how many problems, how many crises did I help you avoid? You don't even know, but I'm going to tell you since we got plenty of time. The second way in which God delivers and protects is sometimes he says, I've got another plan. Now, this plan is not the easy plan, but really is the best plan. You see, it wasn't the easiest experience for John to put his hand on the Roman guillotine and to have his head removed. But John is in heaven rejoicing, full, rich, blessed. See, you have to understand that God views things eternally, not just temporally on the earth. Sometimes he says, you know, I got a better plan for you. You know, there's been some crises that I've had in life that's caused me grief. God could have took them away, but he didn't. I'm a better man because he brought me through them. You see, sometimes he chooses not to remove the threat, but to do something better through the threat, through the danger. But here's what I want you to hear so clearly. God never fails his people. He protects, he delivers, and he always does. He never misses. He never oversees. He always gets it right. Do you believe that this gift is for you? Jesus came to earth to receive protection so he could give protection. Jesus came and needed deliverance, and he became the deliverer for you and for me. What a gift. You must receive him by faith. You must trust him for it, and he will deliver. Father, in Jesus' name, I guess we've never been in a greater need than we are right now for protection. We've never been in a greater need, oh Lord, to hear you sound the call that danger lurks ahead. If we'll just submit to you and run away from the danger and run into those temporary places where we can be safe, and then where you come and deliver us out as our permanent solution. And then, oh Lord, we can rejoice knowing that you always show up on time. Deliver us now. Protect us. We receive this gift of Jesus. We receive him now immediately. We won't wait. Thank you, Jesus, for being such a great gift. In Christ we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand if you would. We call this the invitation. Because we invite.
Thank you for listening to the preaching ministry at Liberty Baptist Church. We trust the Lord will show his mercy and grace to you. At Liberty, we believe everyone counts. Our motto is one church, all people. If there is a need in your life that we can meet, please contact us soon. Perhaps you need prayer for a personal matter. We'll be glad to pray for you. Maybe you need spiritual counsel. We have trained staff to help you. Perhaps you're looking for a friendly church that bases its teaching and practice on the Bible. Then consider us your home church. You can contact us by phone at 770-461-5644. You may wish to learn more about the ministry of Liberty Baptist Church from our website. It is www.lbcfayette.org. May God greatly bless you, and thanks again for your interest in the life-transforming gospel of Jesus Christ.